Well, hello. Welcome to my online ministry, No Longer Conformed. If we begin this new venture of daily Bible teaching, we'll be looking at books of the Bible in verses, several verses at a time. This is going to be a rather informal setting. The videos are going to be presented and posted as is. There won't be any editing. It's just going to be how it goes here. And this is new to me, this video taping of Bible teaching. And so we're going to grow through this together, this new ministry in looking at these books of the Bible. We're going to start with the book of Acts, just a study through the book of the Acts. I've entitled it Luke's History of the Church, Volume 2. And we're just going to look at the first couple of verses today in this session. I want to have a copy of God's Word handy. You want to turn to the book of Acts in chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 and 2. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. A couple of things that we want to do in this session is we want to kind of give a little bit of a background, kind of an overview to the structure and the plan of the book of Acts, and then we'll get into more detail as we move along. But Acts is basically the second of a two-book set. These verses that we read are the prologue introducing the continuation of a work, and that was it's essentially a summary of the book of Luke. If you go back to Luke chapter 1 in your Bible, verses 1 through 4, it reads like this: Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Oh, the book of Acts records the same event as does the book of Luke, the ascension of Jesus Christ. Luke ends with it, and Acts begins with the ascension. Acts bridges the Gospels and the letters of the New Testament. It's believed to have been written somewhere around 62 AD, and the physician's work, as Luke was a physician who traveled with the Apostle Paul, it traces the fulfillment of the Great Commission. The Great Commission, well, that's in Matthew 28, but it's also in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, which we'll look in more detail when we get to those verses. But that verse, Acts 1:8, says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So, recording the rapid expansion of the gospel according to Jesus' outline from Jerusalem until it spread throughout the Roman Empire. Chapters 1 through 7 focus on Jerusalem and what was going on there. Then in chapters 8 through 12, it focuses in and travels to the area of Judea and Samaria in that second part of the Great Commission. And then chapters 13 to 28, to the end of the book, it focuses on the gospel going to the ends of the earth. Now, chapters 1 through 12, the first part of the book, it focuses on the ministry of Peter, who was the apostle to the Jews. And then the remainder of the book, from chapters 13 to chapter 28, it focuses on that ministry of Paul, who was chosen to be the apostle to the Gentiles. So the first part, focusing on what's going on in Jerusalem, and then in the expanding ministry of the apostle Peter, but primarily to the Jews, although he went into Gentile area as his ministry progressed. Primarily Peter's ministry was to the Jews. And then Paul was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And so the rest of the book, when it picks up in chapter 13 to chapter 28, it's looking at that part of the spread of the gospel. And the emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit makes it a record of the acts of the Spirit of God working in and through the apostles. Some people like to call it the Acts of the Apostles. In reality, it should be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it really highlights and outlines what the Holy Spirit was doing through the apostles. And it covers the three sections of Jesus' Great Commission: to Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so, let's look at those three sections for a few minutes here in this session. The first is the witness to Jerusalem. Well, chapters 1 through 7 focus in on that witness in Jerusalem. It looks at the power of the church, the filling of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, Peter's sermon that brought 3,000 converts into the church when God used him in that message, and the fellowship of the church. And so those first 7 chapters, that's what it looks at. And then it looks at the progress of the church as well. You see the power through the filling of the Spirit, the speaking in tongues, Peter's powerful sermon that brought conviction to everyone by the Spirit, and then the fellowship that began that day when those 3,000 souls were saved. But then it looks also at the progress of the church. And when we look at the progress of the church, we see several things. We see the healing of a lame man. And then we see the persecution of the religious leaders, because Jesus was to them in competition with them for the attention of the people and the influence of the people. And then there was the meeting of each other's needs, and Ananias and Sapphira, where the first great recognition of sin and God's judgment on sin occurred. And we'll look at that when we get to chapter 5. Then all the miracles that God did through the apostles, and the persecution that began to develop in the church at Jerusalem. And then the establishment of what we believe today to be deacons, where there was an issue of the distribution of food and needs among the people. There was problems, and the way it was solved was they put together a group of 7 men who were chosen by the people, by the Holy Spirit, to be responsible for that ministry. And then there was the persecution leading to the martyrdom of Stephen, one of those 7, who was a powerful minister for the Lord. And then the beginning, at the end of chapter 7, the beginning of the persecution of Saul, who later became Paul the Apostle. But he began as a great persecutor of the church. He talks about that in his letter to the church at Philippi, when he's talking about his pedigree of why he's so able and qualified to be a leader in the church. So we have the witness in Jerusalem in those first seven chapters of the book of Acts. But then the next section is chapters 8 through 12. And then there's the witness that goes out in that Great Commission to the area of Judea and Samaria. And there we see Philip's witness. And then we see Saul's conversion on his way to Damascus, persecuting the church, getting letters of essentially warrants to take to cities outside of Jerusalem to arrest Christians, to bring them back to Jerusalem for prosecution and even execution. And then we see the beginning of Peter's ministry. And then we see the persecution that occurred under King Herod. And that takes us out from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. And then we see the third, that there is a witness to the end of the earth. And that's in chapters 13 to chapter 28. And we see the first missionary journey where the Holy Spirit set aside Paul and Barnabas in order to go out and spread the good news and establish local bodies of believers in the various cities. So they went on that first missionary journey. And when they came back, there was some problems about how the new Christians should act. Do new believers who are not Jews, who are Gentiles, do those new believers who are not Jews, do they first have to become Jews in order to then become Christians? Or do they just become Christians because they had an experience with Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit? And that became a big dispute. And so there was some members of the church where Paul and Barnabas were serving, and they went up to Jerusalem. They went up as representatives of that church. And in Jerusalem, they met with the leaders of the church at Jerusalem, and they discussed this matter, and then they came up with a solution. And we'll look at that when we get to chapter 15. And they sent a letter back to the church where Paul and Barnabas were serving, and Silas and some of the others, and they gave them instructions on what it meant to be a Christian and how they were to conduct themselves, and what it meant whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. And then they went out on a second missionary journey. Paul wanted to go back. He was concerned about all the churches that had been started, and he wanted to go back and just see how they're doing and encourage them and do some teaching and to help them grow spiritually. And then there was a third missionary journey. And then on that third missionary journey, as they were returning, it became clear that Paul was going to have a change in his ministry. And he was going to be arrested. And he was going to end up, instead of being in Antioch, where the church was, that he was serving out of, and Jerusalem, that he was going to go to Rome. And he was going to be there at the center of the Roman Empire, and he was going to be in prison, but he was going to give witness there. And that's what we see for those chapters from 13 to 28, when the focus of the Acts of the Holy Spirit is on the Apostle Paul and his ministry. But look at the text for a moment. You go back to chapter 1, it says that all that Jesus began both to do and teach. That work isn't finished. Jesus' work and his words continued through his apostles and other faithful Christian witnesses through history, and it still goes on in the work of the church today. Acts begins with the second half of verse 2. Jesus' instructions to his disciples after his resurrection and his ascension. It says, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. So it really begins, that's where the story of Acts begins, is in that the second half of that second verse. Jesus' instructions to his disciples. In fact, if you go back to the first volume of Luke's history of the church, the Gospel of Luke, the book of Luke, and you go to the end of that, in chapter 24, and you go to verse 44 of chapter 24, it says, "Then he," referring to Jesus, "said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Wow. That's something, isn't it? Jesus, you can read the scriptures, you can read all the books of the Bible, but without the opening of our mind spiritually by the Holy Spirit, we can't receive those things. They're just words on a page. They're just stories written. But once the Holy Spirit opens our mind, opens our heart, then we can receive those things. We can understand them. That we can comprehend them, it says. That they might comprehend the scriptures. Verse 46 of Luke 24. "Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." That's who we are. We're beginning at Jerusalem. "And you are witnesses of those things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Wow, just slow down for a moment there and take a look at what Jesus told them. What he said to those disciples after he was resurrected, before he ascended, as recorded there in Luke's first book, the Gospel of Luke. It says that he opened their understanding of the scriptures. I remember when I went to boarding school for high school, this private boarding school, I had to study scriptures as a high school course. Had to study the Old Testament and had to study the New Testament. They were called sacred studies. Had to read the Bible. Had to take quizzes on the Bible. Had to write essays on the Bible. Had to take exams on the Bible. For 5 years, as I went to that school, from the 8th grade to 12th grade. But you know what? All that was another textbook. It was just some information that happened to be the Bible. Some information that happened to be the Scriptures. I didn't understand any of that. It didn't make sense to me. I was just reading the book and giving back the information that was required by the teachers. It wasn't until that day when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord by faith, and the Holy Spirit came to live within me, that it was then, as I was born again, as I was transformed from just a physical being to spiritual, and with a new spiritual birth, it wasn't until then that all of the stuff that I studied for those 5 years began to make sense. And then suddenly, that day, my eyes were opened, my heart was opened, and I began to understand. I began to read and remember much of the work that I did but I began to understand. What was only an academic course became alive. It was truth. I began to understand the scriptures. And that's what Jesus did on that day of his resurrection with those disciples. He opened the understanding of the scriptures to them. But then also, he commissioned them that day. He let them understand the scriptures, but it was for a purpose. He commissioned them to take this message, this gospel message. Those 3,000 that received the Holy Spirit that day and were born again and had a new life, a spiritual life in him, a new relationship with God that was alive, that had the hope of eternal life. That gospel message, the forgiveness of our sins by faith in Jesus Christ, by believing that Jesus died for us on the cross and that he rose from the dead, gaining victory over death, and that victory that he's able to give to us as well. And that message, that gospel of Jesus, was to be taken to all the nations. And Jesus told them that day. And he tells us the same thing this day. But he also told them that they would have the gift of the Holy Spirit. He promised that gift that day. He said that you're going to have the power to do this. You're going to be witnesses, but just hang out for a few days in Jerusalem, and then I'm going to send the power. And the Holy Spirit is going to come, and you're going to have the power. Power from on high that's going to give you what you need in order to take that gospel message. You understand it. You commissioned to take it to the whole world, telling them how they can have that relationship as well. And then you're going to have the power to do that. So it won't just be what you do in your own strength, in your own resource, in your own understanding. You're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and that gift is going to come. And during that time between when Jesus rose from the dead in his resurrection to the day when he ascended to heaven, there was 40 days. And we're going to see all this as we work through this book. But I just want to give you this opening outline and an introduction. Those 40 days were 40 days of instruction. It was a time of instruction. And it closes with the ascension. And so it became a time of transition. You see, Jesus completed his earthly ministry. He taught, he discipled them, and then he died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and then as he taught them, as he gave them understanding, as he gave them their commission, and then promised that the Holy Spirit would come, he was bringing about a transition from his earthly ministry, which is now complete. And he prepared them, the apostles, for their ministry that was going to continue through their lives, and then be passed on and continue down through history to this day. The same ministry that we have as Christians, to understand the scriptures and take the message of the gospel to the whole world, and to do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing different with what we do today than what the apostles did in those early days and years after Jesus died and was resurrected. And so, how does the Holy Spirit fit into all this? Well, in the Old Testament, it records in Scripture the Holy Spirit coming upon many of the Lord's servants. During Jesus' earthly ministry, there's no reference to the Holy Spirit being upon anyone except Jesus. So in the Old Testament, you had the Holy Spirit coming and going, bringing power on someone to do a particular work. And then when Jesus came, the Holy Spirit was focused in him through his whole earthly ministry. Nobody else in the Gospels had the Holy Spirit. There's no reference to it coming upon anyone as it did in the Old Testament, except Jesus Christ in his ministry. In fact, several references to that. In Luke chapter 3, in verse 22, talks about the Spirit descended upon him at baptism. And it says in verse 22 of Luke 3, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Then the Holy Spirit filled him at the Jordan. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 1, the first part of it, it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness and brought him out of the wilderness when he was tested after he had fasted. In Luke chapter 4, in the second part of that first verse, and then in verse 14, it says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In the verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And then it says that the Holy Spirit rested upon him at Nazareth. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 18, it reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Why is the Holy Spirit mentioned in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2? Why is he mentioned there? Well, the same Jesus who taught them on earth would continue to teach them as well as us through the Holy Spirit. So before the ascension, they experienced the Spirit through the presence of Jesus. After Pentecost, on the day that Peter preached and all of those 3,000 were saved and the Spirit came, they would experience Jesus through the presence of the Spirit. So before he ascended, they experienced the Holy Spirit through Jesus' presence as the Holy Spirit filled him. But then after Pentecost, they would experience Jesus, who was now gone, he had ascended, through the presence of the Spirit. So the Great Commission, what we're talking about here. The Great Commission, it is a plan to spread the gospel throughout the earth by a process of transition from Jesus to his followers with a power by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So it was a plan that Jesus had to take the gospel to the whole earth. But he wasn't going to be the one who was going to be doing it physically. He's going to transition that work of spreading the gospel to his followers. But he was going to give them a power. The same power that he was filled with when he did his ministry here on earth. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God coming and dwelling within each believer. So the question becomes, Where do you fit in? And that's what we're going to look at next time. We're going to look at the There we go. Like I said, this is going to be a process we're going to get used to. We're going to look the next time at the appearances of the resurrected Christ. And as he is there during those 40 days before he ascended, and what that those 40 days were all about. We're not going to actually look at the 40 days, but we're going to look at what those days were all about. And that time between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. I hope you'll join me as we begin to work our way through this book. It'll take some time. We're going to look at it day by day. We're going to look at it daily, Monday through Friday, and take a break on Saturday and Sunday, but we'll continue to do this. The videos will be posted on YouTube, and with a reference from my website and from my Facebook page and from my Twitter account. And again, welcome to this study. And I encourage you to take a look tomorrow. Have a great day.